Greetings and welcome in. It's Better's Last Stand, show number 150, coming to you from the Pine Room Watchdog Studios here in downtown Wheeling on our first fall back show as we turn the clocks back on Saturday night into Sunday morning, and now it's getting dark outside by the time we're getting ready to record the show. So I don't know about you, but that puts a bounce in my step. I know a lot of people do not enjoy that, but I sure do. And we'll have some high school football tonight on the Watchdog, and it'll be dark as soon as we people get to the stadium. So good stuff. We got John Marshall hosting Wheeling Park tonight on the Watchdog Network. You can listen to it right here, WKKX, WVOY, and streaming at watchdognetwork.com. Wheeling Central out of action tonight, but we'll have playoff action here in West Virginia coming up next week. So hopefully all of our teams will be in. John Marshall right now holding the last playoff spot in 3A in West Virginia as we head into the weekend. They may actually move up a little bit. The latest ranking hasn't quite come out by the time the show is being recorded, so hopefully they move up. They'll have Wheeling Park in. We'll have Wheeling Central in for sure, and hopefully we get John Marshall in as well. Can hear all the playoff games right here on the Watchdog Network. Keep you apprised of the schedule and the matchups. Got the pregame show coming up after us for tonight's game, Wheeling Park and John Marshall. And we'll get you out to the game for the call of the game right here on the Watchdog Network here in a little bit. So thanks for sticking with us here on Better's Last Stand, show number 150. Already done 150 of these. That's hard to believe. So we got a lot to talk about today. Let's recap last week's action. We were up a little over 7 units, 7.86 to be exact. Definitely not a remarkable week by any means. We were 12-10-1 in college football, 101-96-4 on the season. That's about exactly 50%, just a touch over. 8-8 in the NFL, 61-59-1 on the season. That's 50.04. So we're right around 50-50 on just about all these. NASCAR, we had the ticket with Kyle Larson to win the championship 3-1. But we were a small loser in NASCAR last week as Kyle Larson does win it. Ryan Blaney wins the race. And we had a couple guys in the top 10 there. 9-6-1 in soccer last week. 71-48-13, 54% since the middle of September. Recapping the World Series. A very good World Series. One of the better ones in recent memory. I'm not going to say it was an all-time great, but it was pretty good. And we saw the Dodgers come back and take care of the Blue Jays. That was probably the right side to be on. When they were down 3-2, you had to figure, get Dodgers at plus price, take a shot. And Yamamoto, the MVP, he was outstanding, gets 3 wins in the series. But you had some epic finishes, some poor base running, some good defense, some great pitching, some timely hitting, a little bit of everything. So well-played World Series, one of the better ones we've had in a while. Horse racing, let's recap the Breeders' Cup. Turned out okay for us. The picks we gave out here on the show and the picks we gave out to you on Friday, BLS_PRP. If you played our picks, the win picks, which were the top picks, the exacta picks, and the pick fours, which were the encompassing of those picks, if you played them all in a pick four, then you would have been up $1,197.55 over the weekend at the Breeders' Cup for us. So we had some really good ones, including Valentina, who wins the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Philly Turf for Donica O'Brien, and O'Sheen Murphy. We talked about him here on the show last week about how he rides some really overpriced horses that should not be the prices they are. This horse went off in the mid-20s-1. He was a morning line of around 30-1 when we gave him out. Still got a great price on it. He wins the race. He paid $43.20 to win. Exceptional ride by O'Sheen Murphy up the rail, and I was very, very happy as a way to get our weekend started off the right way. And then Forever Young, we gave him to you for the Kentucky Derby 2 years ago. It didn't work out. He got bumped really bad down the lane, but he's went on to win some incredible races. He's the richest horse now ever. He's won races in I think at least four continents. So yeah, so an exceptional performance by Forever Young. He gets it done for Japan in the Breeders' Cup Classic, so he cashed that one and a few other tickets along the way. So up almost $1,200 if you played all the plays that we gave out here on the show and at the BLS_PRP. NHL update, starting to come into its own a little bit, starting to see some trends popping up here. First period over teams, VGK, that's Vegas Golden Knights, 8-3 to the over. Boston, 10-4 to the over, and Ottawa, 9-4 to the over. The under teams, how about this run? We talked about it a little bit last week. Florida's run, 10-2 to the under. Wow, that's you didn't see that coming, but they are banged up, and they are a little slow to start after playing a ton of hockey over the last 3 seasons. Washington, 9-3 to the under in the first period, and the Philadelphia Flyers, 8-4 to the under in the first period. Second period overs, the Edmonton Oilers 11-2 to the over, Vancouver 11-2 to the over, and the Toronto Maple Leafs 10-2 to the over. Second period under teams, New York Rangers 10-3 to the under. Third period over teams, Ottawa 12-1. How about that? Only one of Ottawa's games has not gone over in the third period. Detroit 11-2, Minnesota 11-2, and Boston 11-3. So you had Boston first period overs 10-4, and third period overs 11-3. Pretty strong stuff there. Nothing really on the unders to speak of. Goal in the first 10 minutes, VGK 9-2 to the yes, Ottawa 10-3 to the yes, and the New Jersey Devils 10-3 to the yes there. So some interesting stuff starting to shape up for NHL. You're starting to see teams who are under teams, teams who are over teams. I think the Penguins may have given Toronto Maple Leafs some life. Toronto's looked very, very poor the last few games. They get routed by Columbus. They haven't played well. Penguins blow a 3-0 lead to them the other night, and hopefully it doesn't spark their season, but we shall see. Stranger things have happened. But Toronto looks lost without Mitch Marner. Play creation's a problem. Most of the teams that we were high on are playing pretty well. The Anaheim Ducks, one of the teams we were high on last year, came back with them again this year. They're a really good young team. They got a lot of firepower. They're scoring a lot of goals. They don't have great defense. They don't have great goaltending, but the games are exciting, and they're playing pretty good hockey offensively. San Jose, another team. Very good young team. Starting to get better and better. Penguins holding their own right now. We'll see. They are still kind of treading water. They have some injuries right now. Our guy Murashov from the Nailers, who was outstanding last year, and he's been outstanding in the AHL so far this year, he's getting called up right now. We'll see if he's active. Or you will, by the time you hear this show, you'll see he was to at least be the backup on Thursday night's game against Washington. So we'll keep an eye on him. Racing, we're getting down to the end. Kind of sad. NASCAR is in the books. Another season behind us. Kyle Larson wins the championship in a really, really exciting race. It had a little bit of everything. Ryan Blaney won the race, but you had a ton of different leaders in this race. I mean, you had guys that were leading coming out of nowhere. 52 laps led by William Byron. He finished way down there, so a bad day for him. Tires were the story here, though. The tires just blowing up on these drivers. Chase Elliott led 30 laps. Denny Hamlin led 208 laps. Ryan Blaney leads the final 20 or so. Denny Hamlin, some interesting pitch strategy and some things that went wrong for him. It looked like he was going to have a stranglehold on this. It did not happen. Kyle Larson comes home in third and wins the championship. He followed Ryan Blaney and Brad Keselowski. Joey Logano was fourth. Kyle Busch was fifth. Denny Hamlin drops to sixth. He was devastated after it. It was not the day that he had hoped for. But Kyle Larson gets it done. He outduels Hamlin, Briscoe, and Byron to win his, I think it's his third championship. But a very impressive ride there for him at Phoenix. And we are done with NASCAR until February in the Daytona 500. Hopefully that'll come sooner than later. Good to have a little bit of a rest and recharge the batteries, but it's good to have NASCAR back, so hopefully it'll get here pretty quickly. F1, we're back in Brazil after a week off. You got a points titled race right now that is down to the wire. Lando Norris at 357, Oscar Piastri at 356, and Max Verstappen and Red Bull at 321. We got Sao Paulo, Vegas, Qatar, and Abu Dhabi still left. And where we last picked up, Lando Norris won at Mexico City. That was post the win in the U.S. Grand Prix by Max Verstappen in Austin. Then George Russell won at Marina Bay. Then it was Verstappen winning at Monza and Baku. So you have some spread around winnings here lately. You had Verstappen in the mix. You have Russell. And then finally you get a McLaren back on the top of the podium. Oscar Piastri now hasn't won since August. So what's going to happen here? I'm curious. Max Verstappen, of course, he's won the last two out in Brazil. We'll see what he does here. He led 27 laps last year. George Russell led 28 and finished fourth. Esteban Ocon. Team Alpine had a really good run here last year. Can they duplicate that? I don't think so. But we shall see. Verstappen the year before that, 68 laps led. Lando Norris finished second in that one. Odds to win this, Lando Norris plus 160, Max Verstappen plus 175. And now Oscar Piastri, who's really taken a dip. So I don't know if the McLaren, the way that they've changed their cars to try to compete with Red Bull, has affected his driving. But he was, for a while, was a very short price, either the favorite or the co-favorite. Now you're getting 4-1 on Piastri. I would take a peek at him. I still think he's going to refine it. This guy's too good of a driver to continue to have a poor showing. So I would expect Oscar Piastri to have a big run here in Brazil. I think he realizes he's got to jump on on his teammate Norris here and figure out a way to get by him in this driver title race. Norris now the plus 160 favorite to win it, followed by Verstappen at 175. And then you have, no, I'm sorry. I'm reading the odds for the race again. I don't have those championship odds for some reason. I thought I had them, but I guess that I didn't. Oh yeah, I do have them. Piastri plus 250, Lando minus 135, Max Verstappen at plus 420. So I think that's pretty wide open. It's going to come down to some racing luck. You're going to have to see how people qualify. But I'm going to go with Oscar Piastri to win this race. I think he has a shot to bounce back. I think you're going to be seeing some of his best, and most attentive driving this weekend. Aston Martin, possibly double top 10. That's what I'm kind of looking at here. I think that could be worth a play as well. And any other plays that we may have in the F1 side of things, we will pass along to you. BLS underscore PRP is where you want to be for that. All right, let's talk a little basketball. College basketball underway. Not going to talk about NBA. You know that. I'll pass along NBA tidbits here and there, but I'm not going to sit here and break down NBA games each week. It's just, it's painful to watch. And with the integrity issues we have going on right now, I'm even less likely to play that stuff. If I get a good breakdown from somebody or get some good information of some kind that is legal and not sketchy, then like trendy information, then yeah, I would pass it along. But so far, we'll recap some of the best ATS teams and so forth throughout the weeks, but nothing really to speak of in the NBA. College basketball, though, off to a rip-roaring start. And I started off on Monday night and Tuesday night, and it was really, really strong for me. I will say the line movements in these games, if you get them early, check them early in the day, find a site where you can see multiple books. You see the opener and then you see 5, 6, 7, 8 different books where it is at the time. And if you start seeing movements of 3 points or more early on, you want to get those as quickly as possible. We had several moves, massive moves, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 point moves. If you beat them early, you had a really good advantage. The games that I played on Monday night, I played 15 basketball games and went 14-1 just going off of the line movements. Obviously, personnel, things like that, they're only going to matter a little bit right now. So many different bodies in the transfer portal. You can look for teams that bring back rosters, which is a positive. So if you can find that and you can find some line movement, I'm telling you, the guys who are sharp on the side of the bettors on these, who have their own power ratings and have done all the legwork, they're beating the books right now in college basketball. I say it every single year. The first 2 to 3 weeks of college basketball is when you can really, really, really hurt sports books. So come on out and take your chances. Find those line movements and get on them early. As soon as you get up in the morning, check them. And by the time you're done or time you eat dinner, time you're getting ready to watch these games, you will see massive moves. And if you beat them, beat the movement, you see a little bit of it, but you got to stay on the wave. It's like riding a wave on a surfboard. You want to get it as it's going up. You don't want to get it as it's crashing down. And you don't want to get it too early or miss it. So that's when you got to time it out. Get on it early in the daytime. It was very, very impressive. The run that was Monday and Tuesday. Tuesday wasn't quite as good as Monday, but Monday was exceptional with the line moves. Indianapolis, our friend of the show, Ben Hallett, former coach West Liberty. He is now at an Indianapolis. They are in Division One, of course. They played Ohio State the other night, put up a great effort. That game opened in the 150s as a total. Totally bad line, a terrible line. And I told a few people on Sunday night, man, you know, this is the kind of thing where it's like, get a suitcase of money that you have and go bet it. You knew that Coach Hallett was going to push the tempo. He's not worried about beating Ohio State. He's worried about getting his team better for their conference run and getting them better. They're going to play their style, and they did, and it was exceptional. So anyway, bet that game around 158 over. By the time the game went off, it was already at 170.5. So it moved up almost 12 points. And that wasn't even indicative. 170.5 wasn't even enough. So it flew over the total and would have went over by a lot more had the number been higher or less by the if the number was higher, but went over by a ton and no matter what the number was. So keep an eye on them. Indianapolis, IUPUI, formerly they rebranded as Indianapolis. Keep an eye on them. Their totals, if their totals are low early in the season, I'm telling you, I don't know how many bookmakers did their homework on this, but I know guys who dive into college basketball deep, and they will be aware that Ben Hallett's teams led the nation in scoring or were in the top five for the last 20 years at West Liberty before him, Coach Crutchfield. So they will know that if the odds makers are just playing it off of what IUPUI did last year and didn't pay attention to that coaching change, the numbers are going to be way off. Now, I think they probably took notice after as many points as they scored here, but you still may find some numbers out there that'll be a little bit low. So keep an eye on them for an over team, especially early. Then West Virginia, the possessions just aren't going to be there. They don't have a lot of tempo. This new coach, they're going to be an under team, and they're not going to cover big numbers, so keep an eye on them. I said I didn't have any NBA tidbits, but I do. Oklahoma City Thunder, listen to this staggering number. 76-14 straight up, 57-29-4 in the last 90 games. That's impressive stuff. Regardless of what league you're in or whatever you're doing, that is very, very impressive stuff. College basketball futures, a little bit early to start looking through them. I printed off a sheet. I didn't really see anything there that surprised me. It's a little early. I thought Houston at around 10-1 is still a pretty good bet. I think if you can find Houston to make it to the Final Four, I'm sure that they're probably a minus price. Actually, to make the Final Four, Houston 2-1, I think that's a pretty good price. So of all the stuff that I saw there early on, I thought that was good. I thought BYU at plus 350 also, they're going to be a hot team this year. People are going to be on them. They're on them in football. They're on them in basketball. This NIL now is impacting them. You're getting kids there that are getting that the Mormon education that they want, and they're getting paid. So this is a really good thing for BYU. They're one of the teams that's directly benefiting from the NIL. How will St. John's do with Rick Pitino? They're plus 365 to make the Final Four. Could be a team worth keeping an eye on. And how will Dan Hurley bounce back? Plus 275 on UConn to make the Final Four. We'll keep an eye out. Purdue, I watched them a little bit last night. I had them in a game, and they didn't do a whole lot other than last year. Their guards are pretty decent, but I just don't know if they're going to be tough enough and be able to defend well enough to be able to win down the stretch. So Purdue, to me, yeah, they'll win a lot of games, but they are going to be fade material come tournament time. That is for sure. All right, let's get into some things going on in the sports betting industry. Well, it's been a rough week for sports betting. Let's talk a little bit about this. UFC, we had the big scandal a few weeks ago. We got a college scandal that's getting ready to break right now. Every single day, it seems like something else is coming out. UFC, the latest in the spotlight. Now, they've been here before, so we've seen this before, but now it's coming out on a larger level. So here we go. On Saturday afternoon, IC360, which is a betting integrity firm, and I believe they used to be called US Integrity, but they rebranded. They monitor sports integrity for sports books, numerous books all across the country, across the world. They notified UFC and sports books of suspicious action coming in on the first round submission by the opponent of Isaac Dalgarian. So Dalgarian was the guy they were betting against. Dalgarian was cut from the UFC roster the following day by Dana White, who stated that he was contacted by US Integrity and went to Dalgarian's camp before the fight to ask if everything was okay, if there's anything that they needed to talk to him about. They decided not to, and he went out there and he took a dive and he got submitted in the first round, and it came out afterwards. Money was coming in on the other guy to submit him in the first round, and I'm talking massive amounts. People were out there in betting circles saying, get as much as you want. They didn't care what the price was. It was a guaranteed win. You had it going all up and down the Nevada Strip. You had all different areas, dormant app accounts coming alive, all kinds of improprieties going on here. Somebody got to this guy. We'll find out who that was. He is now being investigated, as are many others, by the FBI. So that is not good. Dana White ends up calling the FBI after the fight and letting them know of all the things going on. They were already in touch with US Integrity. So after this, many fighters coming out say that they've been approached in the past for people wanting to pay them to fix fights. This is a lower level card fight. Guys probably only making a few thousand bucks. This seems like a target area for people to get involved in this, and it could be bad. So we'll see what comes in the future here. But another reason why legalized sports betting is going to save sports, because if we don't have that, if this is just all, you know, hidden stuff, not really out there with regulators and stuff, this is going to fall through the cracks. People are just going to take their loss or win, and they're going to fix the fight and go on about their way. But now, you know, you see the red flags popping up. I mean, we got the alert at my place, like, be on alert. Any dog area in action, be on alert. And people were coming with massive amounts of money, $10,000, $20,000, $30,000. Not to our book, thank goodness. We didn't have any involvement on the fight other than I think somebody actually bet the Dalgarian guy to win. We had very little action on the fight, so it didn't impact us at all. But you got to be diligent, and that's what you teach your people in this field. You be looking at it. Something doesn't look right to you. The same bet over and over and over, popping on the kiosk, popping on your bet tracker. You got to be like, oh boy, we better look into this, get the right people involved, and find out what is happening. Bad beats. Well, getting the best of the number is important. We talk about it in basketball, trying to beat these big line moves early in college basketball. Getting the best line of football, just as important. Texas, -3 or -3.5. They got the crazy stuff at the end of the game against Vanderbilt. They only end up winning by 3. If you had it earlier in the week, Texas was laying 2.5, which we gave it out to you here on the show. It was 2.5. You were safely in. It was very frustrating for a lot of people that I was with on Saturday that they had 3 or 3.5. And they had a surefire win turn into a ticket you want to burn. Georgia, their quarterback falls down at the 1 yard line when he easily walked in on a nice play at the end against Florida, but he did the right thing, falls down. They get the win. They do not cover. The game stays under because of that, too. That was one. He did the right thing. There's no questionable activity there. That was just the right thing to do. That's how you assure you win the game, because then they were able to take 2 knees after that, run the game out. Cal, +5. Only like a minute to go in this game. We had Cal, of course. And the only thing you can't happen is a pick six or a fumble six, because if UVA gets it back, they're just going to kneel on it. Oh, guess what? Pick six, 31-21. So that was one that stings right here for us on Bettors Last Stand. Highest ticket counts for college football last week. And these are interesting things here. This is week number 10, 93% on Georgia Tech against NC State. We told you NC State was the right side, but we were afraid to trust them because they're always so bad. They win the game outright against Georgia Tech. So 93% of tickets on Tech, they lose outright. 92% on UAB +12.5. No cover against Connecticut. 90% against Boise. -17.5 against Fresno. Lost outright. 89% on San Diego State against Wyoming. That one was a good one. Ohio State, 86% on them against Penn State. A good one. Rutgers, 84% on them, +13.5 against Illinois. They're blown out, so no good there. Kansas, 83% on them, -25 against Oak State. We told you, Oak State is a covering machine against Kansas. We didn't know if it would continue, but it did. Kansas does not cover. 82% on UCF, +4.5 against Baylor. They only score 3 points. They lose the game. 82% on WVU, +13. That one was a winner against Houston. WVU looks very good for the first time all season. Will that continue? I don't know. We'll see here on the Watchdog Network tomorrow if they can keep it going against Colorado. 80% on Georgia, -7 against Florida. No go, as we told you. They fell down to 1 yard line when they easily could have covered the game. So of all those moves, we had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 losses and 3 wins. So 7-3 against that side with the big ticket counts. This week's ticket counts, 94% on Vanderbilt, -6.5 against Auburn. Watch out for that one. 91% on San Jose State, -5.5 against Air Force. 85% against Oregon, -6 against Iowa. Another one, watch out. 80% on Ohio State, -30 at Purdue. 80% on Memphis, -4.5 against Tulane. 80% on BYU, +10.5 at Texas Tech. Trap. 75% on WVU. All of a sudden, now they're betting WVU again. -6.5 against Colorado. Ticket counts in the NFL last week. 92% on New England, -6.5. Lucky to win the game. Did not cover. 92% on the Rams, -14 against New Orleans. That was a good one. 91% on the Lions, -9 against the Vikings. They lose outright. 89% on the Chargers, -9.5 against Tennessee. Loser. 88% on Dallas, -2.5 against Arizona. Loser outright. 87% on Green Bay. All Green Bay, -13.5 against Carolina. Lost outright. 87% on Seattle, -3.5 against Washington. Oh boy, Washington. Some serious problems ahead for them. Carolina Panthers currently a 5.5-point home favorite against the Saints. They have not won or covered as a favorite since 2021. 0-10 straight up. And that it's 0-10 straight up and ATS as a favorite. NFL favorites on the year, 90-41-1 straight up, 70-62 ATS, 71-62-2 to the over. College football playoff rankings are out. We're going to talk about those momentarily. A better at MGM, $1 million bet on the Raiders, +1.5. I think he was sweating. He wins $800,000 on the bet after the Raiders missed that two-point conversion. He was probably, absolutely, it's one of those the weirdest things, and it was what makes sports betting so interesting. You bet $1 million on a team, and you're going to be rooting for them to not score, because once the Raiders went for two, this guy would have been so much better that it happened the way that it did, that they didn't get the two-pointer. Because if they tie the game or they win the game, you just don't even know. If they would have kicked the point, obviously, he would have been really like, oh, no. But going for two either way really made things good for him. He was going to be set no matter what. So he's just basically saying, all right, just don't let anything weird happen here. Just get out of this. Whatever happens on this, let's just be a clean two-point play. No false start where you back them up and they got to kick it or something like that, because that would just possibly cost you a ton of money. It would have been sickening. Lopsided ticket counts for week number 10 in the NFL. 95% on Seattle, -6.5 against Arizona. 90% on Detroit, -8.5 against Washington. 85% on Buffalo, -9.5 against Miami. 75% on Philadelphia, +2.5 against Green Bay. 74% on Pittsburgh, +3 at the LA Chargers. College football, best teams ATS. Ohio State 7-0-1. 8-1 teams include Mississippi State, Texas Tech, and Memphis. Best and worst teams in the NFL. Actually, I don't have the worst. I only have the best. It'll be 6-2 are the Rams and the Seahawks. Then you got the 6-3 teams, Indianapolis, New England, and Carolina. All right, so let's reset the show here. Bettors Last Stand, show number 150, coming to you from the Pine Room Watchdog Studio here in downtown Wheeling. So we get you ready for high school football action tonight. It'll be Wheeling Park at John Marshall, getting you ready for some good stuff here on the Watchdog Network. We'll be out at Monarch Stadium for the call. We'll get the pregame show coming up next. WVU tomorrow. Cleveland Browns back in action against the Jets this week. You got football everywhere here on the Watchdog Network. Ohio playoffs continue on. We'll bring you up to date on at the halftime show of Wheeling Park in John Marshall on all the scores from up and down the river as we get prepared for West Virginia playoffs next week. All right, let's talk a little bit about the college football playoff, how it's set up so far. Ohio State was the number one team in the first CFP ranking last night. No surprise there. Indiana number two. I think they got that right. They got A&M number three. They got Alabama four, Georgia five, Ole Miss six, BYU seven, Texas Tech is eight. Number nine is Oregon. Number 10 is Notre Dame. Number 11 is Virginia. Number 12 is Memphis. Lots to talk about, but this is really going to change a lot. Right now, you'd have Memphis and Georgia playing. The winner of that would play Alabama. Oregon and Texas Tech, the winner of that would play Ohio State. Virginia, ridiculous. 11, they would play Ole Miss. That would be a slaughter. It would be Ole Miss then against Texas A&M. Notre Dame against BYU. They would then play Indiana. There's so many things to criticize here, but I can't get on it too much just because there's going to be a lot of things that are going to take care of itself. We'll see how things work out. Ohio State, Indiana will probably play in the championship game of the Big Ten and so forth. Notre Dame, how they're in over Miami, I just don't understand. It's simply brand name bias. Just put them in there. I'm not saying Notre Dame isn't better than Miami, but Miami beat them and they both have two losses. And I don't even care. Miami's not a playoff team. And there shouldn't even be 12 playoff teams. If you're going to tell me Virginia's a playoff team, it's ridiculous. Memphis, I'm sorry, you're not a playoff team. BYU, eh, no. Notre Dame, no. This thing should be, it really should be six teams. Give two byes and play. It's too many teams. These aren't good teams. It remains to be seen if Oregon's any good. I keep thinking Indiana's win out there was good, but who's Oregon really beating? Georgia's just so-so. Alabama's so-so. Texas Tech, I thought they were better than they were, and then they got beat a couple weeks ago. Ole Miss up and down. To me, Indiana and Ohio State seem clearly the best two teams. I don't buy in Texas A&M at all. I just don't see it. This is a waste of time. I'm not a fan of this at all. I think it's just crap, and it's a shame. But anyway, let's get into the football portion of the card here. Show number 150. Again, we were up over 7 units. Horse racing, pretty good for us. Up almost $1,200 if you played all the picks in the win and the exactas and the pick fours there. But let's shift over to football action. We'll start with the good kind of football, the round kind of football. It will be the English Premier League back in action. We had some Champions League this week. I did not put any Champions League picks. I was a little bit off on my Champions League the last go around. So I'm going to let this one digest, and hopefully these international breaks start to come to an end and I can start to get a little bit better feel of how things are working. Let's get into the English Premier League, though. So quickly, Spurs and Manchester United. Spurs, they won the last four against United. They come in off a big win in the Champions League against Copenhagen yesterday. The United have not lost in four matches overall. They've been playing a little bit better. So right now you got Spurs at plus 170, United at plus 140. Spurs is at home. I would lean Spurs money line, if anything, in that one. Everton and Fulham. BTTS, three of the last four at Everton between these two. Fulham comes in off two wins in a row. Everton winless in their last three. I like both teams to score here. You got Everton a small favorite at plus 115. You got Fulham at plus 240, but I think the BTTS is the way to go. West Ham and Burnley. West Ham finally won a match. They beat Newcastle 3-1. We told you Newcastle, not very good on the road. And they're actually unbeaten in their last six Premier League matches against Burnley. So that bodes well. They got three wins and three losses in those six. Four of the five between these two have been both teams to score. And three of the five have went over 2.5. So both teams to score and a possible play on West Ham. I don't really like the over here. I only am playing Burnley to score because West Ham is not very good at the back. This play might just be West Ham for me by the end of this. I got to reevaluate this because playing Burnley to score on the road is questionable tactics. But this is another game where Nuno Espirito Santo, the manager of West Ham, who I think is actually a pretty good manager. I think his team just isn't very good. I think that they could be sneaky here to win this game. And I would say Jared Bowen will score. He hasn't scored in like two games, but he set up a bunch of goals. He's due to score. Sunderland and Arsenal, the Gunners continue to roll. They're unbeaten in their last 15 Premier League matches. They still haven't given up a goal since September. They didn't even give up a goal in Champions League the other day. They had one that looked like a penalty, but they ended up not getting it. Sunderland is also unbeaten in three after a draw with Everton last out. Sunderland to score. I like them in here. Stadium of Light, I think finally somebody breaks through against Arsenal. I think Sunderland gets on the board. That's going to be tough, but they can do it. That place will be rocking. Arsenal will be too strong to win this game. But a lean to the over, three of the five in the series have gone over. So I think Sunderland's good for a goal. I could see this being a 2-1 Arsenal win in a tough environment. Chelsea and Wolves. Chelsea, they're struggling against Karabag today, and they had a 2-2 draw when last I checked. A terrible performance once again by them. The last five between these two teams have seen at least three goals. You had three goals. You had six. You had eight. You had four. You had seven. Wolves having one and six. Chelsea money line, I think they maybe bounce back. They're hard to predict. If you don't want to take a chance with them, just play the over. Villa and Bournemouth. Bournemouth finally lost for the first time in seven matches to Man City. BTTS, three of the last four in this series. Villa very strong at home, so I'm going BTTS and over. I still think Bournemouth will get a goal. Brentford and Newcastle, the last four over and the last four BTTS in this fixture. So goals, goals, goals. Both teams off a loss last week. Brentford to score and over is the play for me. They are at home. They could be actually win this match, but chances of it like a 2-2 or something are very possible. Palace and Brighton, BTTS, the last four between these two, including three straight overs. So let's play the BTTS and the over there. Palace probably a slightly better play at home, but we shall see. They right now are at plus 125. You got Brighton at plus $2. Forest and Leeds, neither team in great form. Forest did draw with Man United the other day, 2-2. We had that one over. Four of the last five under in this series, so I would lean to the under, and I like Forest here at home to maybe get another win, but if you don't want to take a chance, play the win or draw. City and Liverpool, the highlight of the week. Liverpool's got to win this match if they have any shot of tracking down Arsenal. They cannot continue to give away points. Liverpool has won the last two between the two by a score of 2-0. Four straight unders in this tilt as well. I like the under here. I think this is a dead even game. I could see this being like a 1-1, possibly another 1-0 or a 2-0 win for Liverpool. They are really going to need this game. City played well today, though, so it should be a good clash, but I do like the under in that one. All right, rolling along here. Bettors Last Stand, show number 150. Thanks for listening to us here on the Watchdog Network as we get you ready for high school football action. Wheeling Park and John Marshall tonight at Monarch Field, 7 o'clock, coming your way right here on the Watchdog Network, WVOI, WKKX, and streaming at watchdognetwork.com. All right, let's get into the college card. Again, I don't think this is a very strong college card. There wasn't a whole lot out here that I really, really liked. I thought Tulane was interesting against Memphis. That game coming your way on Friday. That's tonight, of course. Memphis opened 6.5. That's down to 4.5. Tulane on a 7-3 ATS run against Memphis. So a small lean to Tulane there. Northwestern at USC. USC minus 14.5. The total's 50.5. 6-2 SC. 5-3 Northwestern. Northwestern a little scrappy. I think that the back door could be open here. So it'd be Northwestern or pass for me. USC, they go on the road. They win last week. They did not cover. I'm not sure how much they'll be invested in this game. Temple at Army, 6.5 the number here. Army lays it. 46.5 is the total. The Owls come in 5-4. Army 4-4. Temple on a 7-3 ATS run against Army, and 8 of 10 between these two schools have gone over. That's where we'll be going here. 46.5 is the number. That's where we'll go over the total. SMU at BC. This is an interesting game. SMU off the big win. They're 6-3. Boston College 1-8. 10.5 seems like a low number to me. It seems like it should be a lot higher than that. So usually when you have those kinds of games, you play the team that looks like the wrong side. That would be BC. So maybe SMU, after a, you know, a big letdown here, maybe they get crazy, and maybe BC backdoors them here and covers the 10.5. I lean BC in that one. Georgia at Mississippi State. Georgia 7-1, Miss State 5-4. Georgia -8 on the road. The total is 57.5. I think there'll be points in this game. Mississippi State's been very scrappy, and Georgia's defense not quite as good as it has been. I think this is an up and down type game. We've been on Mississippi State quite a bit recently. They got the cover for us last week in the win outright. I think they'll be live here. I don't know if they'll get beat Georgia, but I think they'll hang. So we'll take we will take the game over the 57.5. BYU against Texas Tech. Texas Tech lays 10 at home, 52.5. You got 8-0 BYU and 8-1 Texas Tech. The public all over BYU. All I've heard is this number's wrong. BYU can't be getting 10. Texas Tech can't be spotting the undefeated team 10. Whenever you start getting that kind of stuff out of the public and people coming into your shop and saying that, run for the hills or run to bet Texas Tech. So I'll lay it with Texas Tech minus the 10. I agree, BYU is a solid team, but Texas Tech, whole different animal at home. Could be a tough one for the Cougars. Colorado at West Virginia. West Virginia now a 6.5-point favorite. Thought a couple weeks ago they might be a 2-point favorite in this game. 55.5 is the total. 2-3-6 teams. Colorado 2-0 ATS all time against West Virginia, at least in the last 20 years or something that they've met. I don't know how long it goes back, but that's the most recent data. I like Colorado here a little bit. If it gets over a touchdown, I'll play them just because I just don't think the Mountaineers are that good. Indiana at Penn State. Indiana 9-0. Penn State 3-5. Never thought I would say that. Indiana minus 15 on the road. Total 48.5. They can have a white out, a black out, a brown out, a purple out. It's not going to matter. Indiana goes in here and takes care of business. They are so much better. Penn State has absolutely quit. They played a little hard in the first half last week. They gave their best, but maybe we just missed everything on this team, and I will be the first to say I was on board with that. Indiana lays it. They roll. I think they have Ohio State in their sights, and I don't think they're taking their foot off the gas pedal. They won Ohio State. They're not going to slip up. Bowling Green at Eastern Michigan. Eastern Michigan minus 2 to total 50.5. Eastern Michigan has won the last 3 against BG, so keep that in mind. Both these teams not very good. 3-6 BG, 2-7 Eastern Michigan. Missouri State and Liberty, nothing on that one. Liberty lays 7.5, 51.5. Alabama Birmingham at Rice, 7 out of the last 10 between these two have gone over the total. Rice lays 2.5, total 53.5. I thought Rice's defense was a little bit better. They did not perform for us last week. So I don't know. I'm going to stay away from this game, but I think the seven and three to the over, I don't like it. I would lean under. Maryland at Rutgers. This game, I like points. Maryland 7-3 ATS against Rutgers in the last 10. Rutgers open -1. That's now Maryland a road favorite of -1, a total 58.5. That's what I like. I think Rutgers has a good offense. Maryland can get up and down the field too. They battled as hard as they could against Indiana. They're just not good enough. They'll be able to compete with Rutgers. I think there'll be points here. 58.5 is the total. We will go over. Louisiana Tech at Delaware. This one opened Louisiana Tech -3.5, and it's all the way at the 5.5 right now. No real play on that one, but there is some line movement towards the Louisiana Tech Bulldogs. Next game on the docket, Tulsa at Florida Atlantic. Florida Atlantic lays 3.5, total 64.5. Florida Atlantic on a 4-0 ATS run against Tulsa. They're at home here. I lean Florida Atlantic. Neither one of these teams very good. Tulsa 2-6. FAU 3-5. Florida International 3-5 on the season. They come in to take on the mighty Middle Tennessee State Blue Raiders, who are 1-7. FIU lays 1 on the road, 51.5. No play on this one. Just stay away from that game. Duke at UConn. Both these teams we had last week, both get the job done for us. Cover and win. Duke 5-3. UConn 6-3. UConn +9 at home. I would lean to UConn in this game. If you get 10, I would definitely take it. Duke doesn't have an offense that's really good enough to blow people out. All their games are going to be tight. And UConn is well coached, and they're very scrappy, so keep an eye on that. Here's another game that the public is telling you one thing, so you better take notice. 7-1 Oregon against 6-2 Iowa. Iowa at home here catching 6 points, 40.5, and people are betting Oregon like they have Sunday's paper already. Oregon laying the 6. I think you got to play Iowa here. I don't love anything about Iowa. I thought Oregon was pretty good when I saw them earlier in the season against Penn State, but now we've seen Penn State stinks. And then maybe Indiana going out to Oregon wasn't all that impressive because maybe Oregon isn't that good. But I would say tough place to play. If it's chilly, if it's cold, if it's not a fast track, Oregon will struggle a little bit. They obviously had an issue with the weather before. So I lean Iowa here plus the 6. If it goes to 7, absolutely playing it. Texas A&M at Missouri. A&M undefeated, 6-2. Missouri, if they had their quarterback, this would absolutely be a play for me for Missouri. But I'm still tempted to take the 7. The total's 48, maybe an under here. I can't say I'm too impressed with Texas A&M. They're okay. Better than some years, but not that great. Syracuse at Miami. Miami, their season has come unraveled, as it always does with Mario Cristobal. They lay 28.5 here. 45.5 is the total. If they're going to get back in the playoff mix, they're going to have to start having some impressive wins. Not sure they can do it here. They might be about ready to give up for the season. Kansas at Arizona. Arizona minus 4.5, total 56. Kansas off a not-so-good performance last week, but they did win. Arizona, tough place to play. I'd probably lay it with the Wildcats. Both teams coming in with 5 wins. Iowa State at TCU. TCU minus 6.5, total 57. Is there more overrated teams each year than these kinds of teams? TCU, Iowa State, always hear how good they are. They never really take a step forward. Iowa State 5-4, another disappointment last week. Campbell, he's not a real coach. 6-2, TCU, they're just okay. They lay 6.5 here, as I said, 57 is the total. No real play. I probably lean to the under, if anything, in that one. Ohio State at Purdue, they're 8-0, of course, 2-7 Purdue. Purdue's been scrappy. It'd be Purdue or pass here for me. I think Ohio State will rest some guys quite a bit. Total's 48. I think this actually will go over. I think Purdue will have a shot to score a little bit against Ohio State's backups on defense, because Ohio State's got some big games coming down the road here. Obviously, Michigan on the horizon and potentially Indiana. So they're gonna try to save bodies when they can, and that will be a game they can do that. And Kennesaw State, the Owls, the Red Hot Owls, 6-2 at the 3-5 New Mexico State Aggies. It'll be the Owls up from an opener of 6.5 up to 9 right now. Kennesaw State, good team. If you haven't gone on board with them yet, take a shot. I think they cover this one. Auburn at Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt minus 6.5, total 45.5. I've also heard a lot of public sentiment about this game. How can Vanderbilt only be given 6.5 to terrible Auburn? Auburn's 4-5. They fired their coach. The last 6 in this series have gone under. That's what I like, 45.5. Auburn, oh my, their offense is atrocious. And I think their defense, though, they got playmakers and they got athletes. They'll hold Vandy. They'll come with a good showing here. I like the under. Tempted to play Auburn, but only because the public is loving Vanderbilt. Washington at Wisconsin. Wisconsin 2-6. Washington makes the trek halfway across the country. They lay 11.5 here, 45.5. I would play this game under, but Washington's starting to turn into an over team now all of a sudden. I would probably lay it with the Huskies or pass in that one. Stanford at North Carolina. North Carolina and Belichick laying 7.5 here. What do you think about that? I was a little surprised. Maybe that number's a little high. 41 is the total. Both these teams have 3 wins. I don't know what I would do. I would play Stanford or pass here. I'm not sure North Carolina's improved a whole lot, but we will see. Texas State at Louisiana. Louisiana catches 2.5 at home. The total 64.5 here. A 9-1 ATS run for Louisiana against Texas State. So maybe that means the Raging Cajuns are the play in that one. Cal at Louisville. Louisville minus 20.5. The total's 50.5 here. Cal Bears come in 5-4. Louisville 7-1. No real play here. I would lean Louisville, but I don't know. That's a lot of points. Cal's pesky. They could backdoor cover the Cardinals for sure. Wake Forest at Virginia. Virginia's kind of a fraud. 6.5 they lay here at home. The total 48. Demon Deacons on a 6-1 run ATS against Virginia, and I'm on the Demon Deacons. I don't really like playing this team on the road. 6.5 might be a tad short, but I'm going to take a fighting shot that the Demon Deacons can hang in this game. Florida State at Clemson. Clemson minus 2, total 56. What a disappointment. Who's more disappointing in this matchup? 4-4 Florida State or 3-5 Clemson? Clemson has won 8 out of 10 against Florida State. I like him here to bounce back. I think Dabo, the better coach, I think he wins this game at home against Florida State. Florida at Kentucky. Florida lays 3 on the road. Total 43.5. Both these teams 3-5. Kentucky 6-3-1. ATS the last 10 against Florida. And they've had some tough covers against Florida. If you're Florida better against Kentucky, this is not a team you like to play against. It'd be Kentucky or pass for me. And that one, Navy at Notre Dame. Navy 7-1. We told you last week they were up against in North Texas. Very good. They handle Navy pretty well. Notre Dame, of course, 6-2. Haven't lost since they started 0-2. 26.5 is the number. 56 is the total. Notre Dame 7-3 ATS the last 10 against Navy. I like the Navy team total over 13.5 here. You can find that around -130. I do think Navy will score a couple times here. They're tricky offense to stop. The quarterback play is good. Tempted to lean to the over in the game as well, but I think Navy definitely scores 14 in this game. So we'll go Navy team total over in a lean to the over 56. Nevada, Utah State. Utah State lays 9, total 53. Nevada's 1-7. Probably got to be Utah State or pass here for me. LSU at Alabama. Alabama -10, 49.5 the total. 5-3 LSU. Brian Kelly is no more. Alabama playing okay. Heard a lot of people close to LSU saying they have packed it in. So will they play for pride? Will they play for an interim coach? I don't know. What a mess this team has turned into. Probably lay it with Bama there. It could be really, really ugly for the Tigers. Nebraska, the Cornhuskers at UCLA. They come in 6-3, UCLA 3-5. It'll be Nebraska, now a +1.5 underdog. They opened 1.5-point favorite. So a move to UCLA, 43.5 is the total. UCLA 3-1 against Nebraska all time. No real play there, but I would lean UCLA in this game. I just don't like anything about Nebraska. 6-2 UNLV visits Colorado State, who's 2-6. Colorado State catching 4.5 at home. The total's really high, 62. Colorado State 8-2 ATS run against UNLV. I would lean to the Rams here. I think they could be pesky. I think this is a field goal game. Sam Houston State, lowly Sam Houston, the Bearcats 0-8. They travel to 2-7 Oregon State. They visit Corvallis. It'll be Oregon State -20.5. The total's 52.5 in this one. It opened 18.5 up to 20.5. So Oregon State taking some love after their nice win against Washington State. I don't know. Maybe Sam Houston gets a cover here. Be Sam Houston or pass. And then the final game, 7-1 San Diego State against 6-3 Hawaii. Pretty good game here. San Diego State opened 4.5, now up to 7. I lean to the over here, although San Diego State's defense has been absolutely lights out over the last few games. Look at the totals that they've surrendered. It's been very, very impressive. But I think Hawaii will get the tempo going a little bit. I don't like Hawaii's defense, so I think San Diego State will score a little bit against them in that one. All right, that concludes the college card, week number 11 already here on Bettors Last Day. And we got a few more minutes left. Time to talk some NFL. And we're back with an NFL game overseas. We'll be in Berlin. It'll be the Atlanta Falcons and the Indianapolis Colts. The Colts -6. The total is 48.5. The Colts make the big trade for Sauce Gardner. Can't say I'm impressed with that. Giving up 2 first-round picks, I think, is absolutely insane. This is not a team that's on the brink of a Super Bowl by any means. They're a good team. They're an improving team. But their offensive line got manhandled by the Steelers. Daniel Jones looked like his Giants version of Daniel Jones. But I do like the Colts here. I think Atlanta absolutely stinks. I think the Colts will come out. They'll be very inspired with the fact that ownership in the front office wanted to try to go all in to make a deep playoff run. I don't agree with it, but I can't say that they're not trying in Indianapolis. They do have Sauce Gardner for a few more years, so it's not like it was a rental or anything. So that part I get. 2 first-rounders, though, a little steep. But I like the Colts here in this game. I think they absolutely massacre the Falcons. I think the Falcons absolutely stink. Now, we did have the Falcons last week. It was a spot where they would be coming off of an embarrassing loss. The Falcons seem to go every other week. Good, embarrassed, good, embarrassed, good, embarrassed. Well, they were pretty good last week. They almost won. Now they're going to get embarrassed. Buffalo at Miami. Miami catching 9.5 at home. The total is 50.5. And you got some strong trends here with some home teams coming off of Thursday night football. You got a 15-4 run to the over here. Of course, Miami played last week and on Thursday night football. 50 is the total. I like this game over. Buffalo offense clicking pretty well. Cleveland at the Jets. Cleveland now 2.5-point favorite. This opened the Jets being favored, but the Jets sold off a couple of top draft picks. 37.5 guys they actually picked, not the draft picks themselves, but guys who were drafted highly by the Jets, traded them away. 37.5 is the total. I would probably lean towards the under in this game. I cannot imagine the Jets scoring too many points here. I'm going to look at a team total under for the Jets. If Justin Fields starts and the Browns defense comes to play at all, I think this is going to be a slaughter. Browns laying 2.5, you always have to proceed with caution there, but This is a Jets team that's pretty much given up, and it shows. Giants at Bears. Bears minus 3.5, total 48.5. Bears win on a miracle. Giants, we didn't like them last week, and it worked out for us. But this is a spot where I would lean the Giants plus the field goal. These two teams kind of on the same track. Obviously, the Bears are a little more healthy than the Giants. I think there could be some points in this game. I do, and I lean to the Giants. If I can get 3 in the hook, I would entertain playing the Giants. We'll see what that line does the rest of the weekend. But I do like the over 48. Jacksonville at Houston. Houston will now be with Davis Mills at quarterback. I don't know if that's good or bad. He played okay last week. I had Houston circled originally, and then it was Jacksonville. Now, I really don't know. I'm probably going to sit this game out. I really am. I don't know anything about the total here. These teams, division games, sometimes you think unders, but they've had some really explosive games in the past. I would lean to the over if I'm going to do anything in this game currently. Texas. Why did I say Texas? Tampa. Tampa Bay hosting the New England Patriots. Tampa off a bye. They lay 2.5. Total 48.5. I like Tampa here. They're the better team. New England's due to have a little bit of letdown. They've cheated death quite a bit. So we'll go with Tampa at home. Starting to get a little bit healthier. I think they'll be feeling pretty good here. New Orleans at Carolina. We told you earlier, Carolina hasn't been favored like this in a while. And they're 0-10 as a favorite. So that does not bode well. 5.5 is the number here. I can't lay that. 40 is the number. I think Carolina wins this game by field goal. 7-3 under run in this series. That's where I'm looking here. New Orleans with their quarterback issues and the roster issues. They made some trades as well. So I like the under in this game. Baltimore at Minnesota. Baltimore lays 4 on the road. Total 48.5. Minnesota, this will be a letdown spot for them. They get the big division win. They're not very good. A poor job on the Lions last week. I really thought that was a really, really weird sequence of the game. How poorly prepared the Lions looked. Minnesota 7-0 coming off Detroit games, where they were a 3-point or more dog. So that bodes to the over. That's where I'm going here. The Ravens, 15-1-1. Sorry, that doesn't add up. 13-1-1 in their last 15. The Ravens are to the over. I like Baltimore laying the 4 on the road here. I think they win this game. Lamar Jackson against the NFC has been very good. Minnesota doesn't do enough to really scare the Baltimore defense. Baltimore will win this game. I feel good about that, and I feel good that they'll cover the 4.5 or 4 flat. Let's hope we can get 4 flat. 48.5 the total. We will go over in that one. Arizona at Seattle. It'll be Seattle minus 6.5. Total 45.5. Everybody's talking about how good Seattle is, and they're a solid team. But this is my best bet of the week right here. The Arizona Cardinals catching 6.5. This is a division game. These teams know each other well. 7 of the last 10 have been under in this, and 4 of the last 5. I like this game under. I think it's a closely played game. I think the Cardinals with Jacoby Brissett will control the clock. I think that there's a lot to like about them. They're coming in off of a good performance. Both these teams are. But Seattle, that's too much in a division game, 6.5. I like Arizona in this game. I think this is a field goal game right down to the end. Detroit at Washington. Washington, a catastrophe right now. Dan Quinn. If you remember last year on Bettor's Last Stand, I told you I had to give Dan Quinn credit. Dan Quinn possibly learned from his mistakes in Atlanta and is starting to round himself into a decent head coach. I didn't go as far to say he was good or anything, but he had a good season. He's back to Dan Quinn of Atlanta Falcons lore, the guy that blew the Super Bowl and the guy that underachieved every single year with a really good roster. That's what he is. He's got Jaden Daniels in the game and they're getting killed. That's one thing to work on stuff, but I probably wouldn't have had him running. He's taking a lot of criticism for that. It's not that he's in the game because you want to kind of sharpen up because you've been so bad, but what are you doing? He dislocates his elbow. He's going to be out. You got Mariota. You got all kind of other problems. You got McLaurin out. You got other problems on defense. This team was horrific on Sunday night. Lions lay 9 here off of a bad loss against the Vikings. Man, 9's a lot in the NFL, but the Lions might be a really good bet this week. They might just absolutely go into FedEx Field or whatever the hell it's called now and absolutely steamroll them. So Lions are pass on that one. Total 49.5. I don't know. Lions might score 40, but can the Commanders score anything? Rams at 49ers. Another good game in the NFC West. Rams minus 3.5. Total 49.5. I don't want to lay 3 in the hook with the Rams. Do I think the Rams will win this game? Yes. Do I think the Rams are arguably the best team in the NFL? Yes, I do. We were high on them the beginning of the season. We're very high on them now. Had a couple of stub your toe games where they would have probably be undefeated right now. They blow the game on Thursday night. They blow the game against the Eagles. They really haven't had a game where they've really been dominated at all. Matt Stafford's been absolutely magical. Rams win this game. I don't want to lay 3 in the hook in a division game at Frisco, though. Frisco will be very fired up for this game. I kind of lean to the over. I think there'll be some points. Rams' offense has been really, really good. So an over lean to that one for me out there in Santa Clara. Pittsburgh at the Chargers. This is a Sunday night game. Chargers -3, total 45. If last week's performance is indicative of what could happen tonight, this is going to be really bad for the Chargers. And Steelers really did themselves well by winning that game last week against Indianapolis. Their defense performed the best it's performed in probably 3 years. Their defensive line actually made some plays for the first time in 20 weeks. I feel like TJ Watt was actually noticeable. I like this game under. I think the Pittsburgh defensive line is in the backfield quite a bit. The Chargers lost Joe Alt for the year. They were already without Slater for the year, so their two tackles are out. They did not get anybody at the trade deadline. There's no offensive lineman to be traded. This could be really, really bad. There could be a massive amount of sacks. Herbert's going to run for his life. I would probably play Herbert's rush yards over probably every game the rest of the year because he's going to be running for his life quite a bit. But I like the under 45 here. Steelers might be too good here. I don't know how the Chargers lay 3 without their two tackles. It's just so important to have your linemen intact, and I don't know. But Harbaugh will muddy this up the best he can to keep it close. They are a favorite, though. 45 is the total. We'll go under. Philly at Green Bay. Philadelphia catching 2.5. This is ridiculous. They are far better than Green Bay. Green Bay is an absolute fraud. Now, it does help Green Bay that they were embarrassed at home last week. I would expect a small bump back for them. But I like this game over the total, and I like the Philadelphia Eagles to go in there and steamroll the Packers at Lambeau Field on Monday Night Football. All right, that's going to do it for us here on Bettors Last Stand, show number 150. We got high school football action coming up for you next. It's the pregame show from the Watchdog Studios, and then we'll send it out to the game. Monarch Stadium will be the site for Wheeling Park and John Marshall right here on the Watchdog Network. We'll have comprehensive breakdowns of the scores up and down the river, update you on what went on in the first half of the ball game, and start talking a little bit about the playoffs in Ohio and the playoffs in West Virginia next week. We got a lot on tap here on the Watchdog Network. You got West Virginia in action against Colorado. That one coming your way tomorrow right here on the Watchdog Network. That one a noon kick, so you get a 9 a.m. pregame. And then, of course, the Browns in action against the Jets, 1 o'clock on Sunday afternoon. The Watchdog's where you want to be. BLS _PRP is where you can follow us at the Pine Room Studios. Anywhere you listen to podcasts, you can listen to Bettors Last Stand, Apple, Spotify, Amazon, wherever you get your podcasts. Check us out. Check out the full version. BLS _PRP where you post all the picks. Hopefully you got none of those horse racing picks last week. We had a wonderful weekend with Ballantina and O'Sheen Murphy winning it, and then Forever Young winning the Breeders' Cup Classic. Gave you those ones out right here on the show. All right, that's going to do it for us. Have a great weekend. Be safe out there. Enjoy the dark early. Get yourself ready for bed. Get yourself in a good routine for winter. You got Maction going on. You got all these games all week long now. It's the perfect time of year. Get a little snow in the forecast, and it's a good time to be alive here on Bettors Last Stand. That's going to do it for us. Again, have a safe and wonderful weekend. Enjoy the football action and the other action, college basketball, hockey, and all the other things going on in the world today. And we will see you back here next week for show number 151 as we get you prepped for the Thanksgiving push. It won't be long. We'll be talking Turkey Day, and before long, it'll be Christmas and bowl games. That's going to do it for us here. Thanks for listening to The Watchdog. You're listening to Bettors Last Stand on the Watchdog Network. High school football coming up next.